Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
More free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and Luke Johnson. We're in the First Bank Studios, as we are every day in Hattiesburg and Laurel. We're glad you're with us as always. Former baseball star Mark Maddox on the show today, along with Kelly Sander and Patrick McGee from the Biloxi Sun-Herald. Want to thank our good friends at Dickie's Barbecue Pit for always kicking off the Eagle Hour. Great place to enjoy lunch or dinner. Great place to take your family, and a great place for catering if you're in the market for that. They can handle it at Dickie's. It's Wednesday. We go to the Gulf Coast and visit with our good friend Patrick McGee from the Biloxi Sun-Herald. And Patrick, always good to talk to you. I thought you had a very interesting article with a football coach, the new football coach at Southern Miss, about transfers and commitments and that sort of thing. It does appear that Will Hall is off to a good start when it comes to recruiting kids to his program. Am I right about that?
Yeah, well, you know, whenever you come into a program that's kind of coming off to coming off a rough season, you usually have to address certain areas right away. And for Will Hall, the offensive line was really one spot. It was, you know, not that they didn't have quality in, say, 5 to 7 guys. It's just they didn't have the depth they need there. And they've already got one new guy on campus, and Bryson Mays out of West Virginia. I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, it would be surprising if he didn't start somewhere. They're going to give him a shot at left tackle, but he's played center as well. So he's a guy that they could probably plug in a variety of positions. Then they've got a couple of junior college transfers coming in, John Bolden and Peyton McKinnon, a big 6'7", 6'8", offensive tackle out of Gulf Coast. So they really kind of went out and looked for some defensive linemen, offensive linemen, wanted to get another guy there in the backfield. And Daquan Bailey Brown got hurt there late in the spring. They've had a receiver out of Hines, Jacarius Caston. So I think they did a good job, not necessarily going the FBS route, but there were some JUCO guys that were left out there who were eligible and ready to get going. I think they hit a lot of the marks in terms of guys that can help right away and maybe help a year from now.
You know, Patrick, I'm struck at the size of all these offensive linemen. You know, it just seems like 300 pounds now is kind of blasé. That seems to be the standard.
Well, what's more amazing to me is the guys that are now 6'8", you know. And I mean, everybody's got, you know, 6'6" to 6'8" offensive tackles. I don't know if humans are just getting taller on average or, you know, kids are moving away from basketball. I don't know. I mean, these guys just keep getting taller and taller, and I'm sure, you know, I don't know. I mean, it used to, you know, if you're out left tackle with 6'4", you're like, man, that's ideal. Yeah. But now you want a 6'6", 6'7" guy out there. So
yeah,
that's just the age we're in, I guess.
Luke Johnson, when you were playing for Southern Miss, how many 6'8", 300-pound offensive linemen did we have?
We had some 6'7", 6'6" guys. I'm not sure we had 6'8". I remember a dude back in the day. Name was Todd Beeching. I think he was 6'8". He played before I got there. But yeah, the fact that you've got, you know, mountains on either side surely helps. But your quarterback's got to be able to see over the line, so that's what helps when Trey Lowe is 6'3".
Yeah, go ahead, Luke. Get in here with Patrick.
Patrick, what stood out to me, because this was and you were talking to McKinnon and Kalik Washington. Seems as if the Southern Miss coaching staff thinks he's going to be a third or fourth round NFL draft pick. That was kind of news to me.
Yeah, they Will Hall was pretty strong on him back in the spring, so it didn't really surprise me to hear McKinnon kind of relay that. So, yeah, I think Washington had a really good spring. He's maybe one of those guys that kind of benefits really from another year of college football and putting himself in position. I know he's played a lot of left, I think, if I remember right. So, I mean, maybe the right side is a really good fit for him. And they moved Tykeem Doss out there to left tackle, but Bryson Mays, the West Virginia transfer, it looks like he's going to give him a pretty good push. Of course, I'm not sure what Doss is checking in at these days, but he may be one of the biggest left tackles in America, one of the big offensive linemen. I mean, I know he was close to 370. I think Mays is maybe a little bit more athletic guy. So it'll be interesting. I think they kind of, at this point, they have a couple of guys at each position on the offensive line, and that's really kind of the bare minimum of what you need these days. So I think depth-wise, offensive line is in a significantly better spot than it was to say there to wrap up the spring.
Tykeem Doss listed at 6'5", 379 on the roster from the spring. So, yeah, good luck feeding him. Anyway, Patrick, talk about two guys on the defensive line. You made some mention to them. I see the two guys of all of these lists, all these guys coming in your article. Deshaun Crawford and Everett Cunningham probably will play immediately on the offensive side. And comment about them, but on the offensive side, do we think the running back from Hines and then Cashton, both of the guys from Hines, the running back and the wide receiver, could play on that side of the ball?
I think just at first glance, when you look at this, I think Richard, I guess, yeah, he's from Louisiana, so he's a Richard. He's not a Richard. He's a guy that I think is going to play right away. If you look at his number, Hines only played four games last year, and he had 472 rushing yards, and he signed with South Alabama at a high school, and so I think that he's somebody that can maybe work in as your number two or number three guy there, running back potentially. You know, he's got to come in and play well this fall and learn what they need out of him. But we all know the running back spot seems to be one of those positions where you can kind of plug and go. Jacarius Kasten, he'll have a chance to play this year. But you have, DeMarcus Jones also there in the slot. It really hurts Southern Miss to lose Daquan Bailey Brown because he was having such a solid spring and is really a kind of guy you like there as a slot guy, a shifty, fast guy that can make guys miss. They're going to, that's one position that's got to be really a focus to have a security blanket for Trey Lowe or whoever's the quarterback. That slot position is really important. So if Kasten comes in and plays well, he should get significant playing time.
Patrick, is it Will Hall's history to play a lot of guys? Some coaches tend to stick, to that starting 11 and only rotate a few in on each side of the ball. Other coaches like to have a lot of depth and like to rotate offensive lines, defensive lines. How do you think Will Hall will play it?
Well, I think it all, if you look at how he operated his offense at Tulane, he wasn't afraid to rotate guys in at running back, even at quarterback. So I think if he has the numbers and the depth, we'll see a bunch of guys on the field. But he's going to work with what he's got. But on the offensive lines, it feels like he has three or four guys working off the bench. I think we'll see several guys out there. But, no, I think he wants to have a pretty heavy rotation at running back. We'll see how he handles receiver. But just from watching his Tulane team, he liked to have a bevy of talented running backs, and he liked to get them all on the field.
In your conversation with him, where did you detect that he feels like the biggest area of need and improvement will be?
I think in the front seven on defense, maybe specifically on defensive line, you don't really have that big, many big bodies on the interior of the defensive line. I think that's where he's open to adding somebody else here in the summer. So I think that's one spot that you may see him try to have. But of course, that's the toughest position to fill, especially at the group of five level, is finding a run stuffer there in the middle of the defensive line that can just really stay on the field and produce and really clog that up. So if he's able to add that, that would be a big boost because, nobody really kind of comes to mind as that 320, 310-pound guy that can just take up guys on the line and stop that run up the middle.
Luke?
I guess wrapping up for me, Patrick, just kind of switching gears to baseball, one thing we should note today, Rodrigo Montenegro, Gabe's little brother, comes out on Twitter today committing to Southern Miss. Possibility we might have two Montenegros on the field next year?
Yeah, it looks like it. I haven't talked to Barry or obviously to Gabe or anything like that, but to me that would be a little bit of a sign that Gabe would be coming back. I mean, to get a chance to play with your brother, you know, it seemed like the younger brother had a pretty good situation there at Western Oklahoma State on the Division II level as their catcher hit, I think, 348 this year. So he'll probably factor in, you know, in the depth situation at catcher. And you saw Blake Johnson really come on at catcher in the regional, hit a couple of homers. He was a very good hitter in high school. And you've seen little flashes out of him here and there. But I think next year is a year where you see him really kind of break through at the plate. But, you know, Stanley didn't hit that well behind him. I think he hit better late. But if you can have another productive guy behind Johnson there at catcher in Montenegro, who I think's played some infield as well, maybe he's can be kind of a utility guy when it comes down to it. But, yeah, I mean, you always like to have another quality body at catcher, and I think it is, you know, potentially a step for Gabe to come back for another season.
Well, I have sources that are really close to the Montenegro family that say it is a lock. He is coming back. So I hope that I hope they're right, Patrick, because there are not a lot of Gabe Montenegros out there, and getting him for another year would obviously be a good thing. Appreciate right. you, Patrick, as always, and I look forward to having you back on the show next week, buddy.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor from the Biloxi Sun-Herald, and always a pleasure to have Patrick on the Eagle Hour.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Always appreciate Patrick McGee from the Biloxi Sun-Herald for coming on the Eagle Hour. Appreciate the professor being on with us today. A couple of programming notes. Pitching ace Hunter Stanley on the Eagle Hour tomorrow. We'll have him for the full half hour, first half of the show. Going to be talking about his great career at Southern Miss and what now lies in the future for Hunter Stanley. And then Luke and Kelly will be at Parrish Tractor Company up on Highway 49 North Friday afternoon. Father's Day event taking place out there. We've never been there before. We're excited about having the Eagle Hour at Parrish Tractor. Hope that you'll tune in and join the guys Friday afternoon as they go back on the road with the Eagle Hour. All right, our next guest, certainly no stranger to Southern Miss baseball, a true star for the Golden Eagles, was Mark Maddox. Played 5 years of professional baseball up to AAA. Just a great baseball career. Mark, I appreciate you being on the show. And I was looking at your stats, amazing to me. You never hit under 300 from your freshman year through your senior year.
Hey, well, there was definitely some bumps in the road along those ways. I can certainly assure you that. And thank you for having me, and looking forward to today.
You can kind of, I mentioned our guest tomorrow is Hunter Stanley, and put yourself back when you were in his shoes. Here's a kid that was really outstanding in college, and you know he's thinking about playing professional baseball and getting his shot. What do you think goes on in the minds of a kid like a Hunter Stanley or a Walker Powell at this, when their career has come to an end in college and they're waiting to hear from the Major League Baseball world?
Yeah, first off, I mean, that's every kid's dream is to have the opportunity to play at the next level and keep playing and play until, you know, you're just no longer able to play anymore. And so getting the opportunity to play at the professional level is something that we all look forward to. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for them right now is just the unknown. What does somebody call me? When do they call me? Do I get a chance? Where am I going? And then everything just happens so fast. So both of those guys certainly, you know, have warranted themselves a chance at the next level and, you know, would succeed and looking forward to following them in the future. But, you know, it's just that hurry up and wait mentality that I think, you know, it's not easy to do. But unfortunately, there's nothing really that they can do. They've put together their best foot forward over the past, you know, 4, 5, 6 years and, you know, ready to give the next level a chance.
And how different is that world when you leave when you get into professional baseball?
It is. You know, I think the biggest thing for me, you know, ended up being, you know, the college game is really team focused. It's really like you're playing for your brothers. You know, of course, everybody wants to do their part. Everybody wants to get 5 hits a game and throw 10 shutout, you know, 10 strikeouts and, you know, 9 shutout innings. But, you know, the reality is that you can't. So every game on a 60 game schedule is much more important. But when you go to the professional ranks, you're playing 144 games. And, you know, the weirdest thing is your competition is actually, you know, your own team and the guys above you and below you within your organization. And, you know, just you could theoretically lose every game, but if you hit 340 and 20 home runs, the chances of you moving up the next level are pretty good. And that's one step closer to the big league. So just understanding that business atmosphere and trying to take what you learned in college and going forward and, you know, still having the team mindset. But I think understanding the differences in the two games is one of the big adjustments.
All right, we're going to get Luke at the conversation. Before we bring him in, though, I want to bring this up, Mark. You were not only a hero on the Southern Miss baseball field, you were a hero a couple of weeks ago, and this was brought to our attention. You saw a person lose control of their car and drive the car into a lake, and I understand that you went in the water, putting your safety aside, and got the guy out and basically saved his life. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, it was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. And, you know, first off, it wasn't just me. There was several other people there to help out. But you're right. Essentially what happened is the guy, I'm not sure what happened at the wheel, but he lost control. He kind of hopped the curb. He wasn't, you know, gassing real fast or braking or any of that. I honestly thought he was about to pull over and park on the grass and start fishing. And he just kept going. And the hill kind of took him down and into the water. And honestly, I didn't really know what to do at that point. I mean, this is something that I've only seen in movies. So I just threw my car in park and started running out there. And I was yelling at him to roll down the window. That I don't know why. Again, going back to the movies, you know, I figured he would, you know, not be able to roll down his window, not be able to open the door with all the pressure and before the electricals went out. And he barely cracked it. And I was like, no, man, you got to roll it all the way down to be able to get out. And by this point, a couple other people came up and, you know, we got him to where he was, you know, awake. He was okay. We figured out that everything was, that he was okay. There was nobody else in the car. And so basically it got time for him to jump out of the car and he was going to swim to the shore before the car got fully submerged. And he took a couple big old swims at it, and I don't know if he swallowed water. He started kind of choking a little bit and coughing and kind of doggy paddling. So I've been down to untie my shoes and be able to help if I needed to. And then I heard one of the ladies in the background just go like a big deep sigh, and you look up and he's going under and the bubbles are kind of coming up above his, you know, head and all that. So we head out there and we, you know, go in there and get up underneath him and gets his head back to where he can catch some breath. And we kind of get him to shore and everything's okay. But, turns out he had, you know, had a rough morning and, but he is okay and has got a second chance at life. So hopefully that'll get some things going.
Luke Johnson, how about that story from a former Golden Eagle?
It's just a normal day in the life of Superman Mark Maddox. I mean, he used to do that stuff all the time. So he probably he saved some people out of Lake Byron at the front of campus. Mark, were you with some of those dudes? Because there were some baseball guys. Because I was in the dorm with Hall Power and Shepard and some of those guys. You never fished in Lake Byron, did you?
No, I never did. But I knew some guys that went down there. But no, I never did.
Yeah, we had some football players that did. I don't think they caught anything out of there except trash. But anyway, it was a nice play. Anyway, man, no, but I say that tongue in cheek. You exemplify what it means to be a Southern Miss Golden Eagle, and Bob wanted our listeners to be able to hear that. All right, you're out in the right field roost a lot, and I have to ask you this because you're still all time number one run scored, games played, total bases, second behind Wallner. We set records for them to be broken. I am way behind Ray Guy as the number two in punting average. But isn't it kind of interesting every year when you see these guys coming along and nobody else may recognize it, but you know what it was like to be in that position. And it's almost like you see these guys every year creep up on your records, and, man, it just makes you feel good knowing that that type of same level of baseball, in my case football, is being played at Southern Miss.
Absolutely. You know, they, like you said just a little bit ago, records are made to be broken. And, you know, if somebody's going out there and breaking the records, then they're successful. And hopefully the team is able to be successful as well. And, you know, that's what you play for. I mean, I doubt anybody goes into their freshman year at Southern Miss or wherever they may be and say, hey, look, you know, I'm going to set out and break these records or do this. But if you're successful, then you look up and, 3-4 years later, 5 years later, however long it takes. And, you know, if you do what your team is asking for, then hopefully you'll be in a good spot to break some of those.
Be honest, was there any jawing or conversation when Wallner broke it between you and him?
No, there wasn't. But, you know, what's kind of cool is his parents would always come out to our roost spot. And, you know, his parents and my parents are still great friends. They're great people. And so, honestly, it was probably more like nobody really knew what to say. It was the elephant in the room when they were around and I was around and all that. But I couldn't be happier. You know, that's a guy that, you know, fully deserves that. He was able to do it in 3 years. He's obviously a big-time power guy. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, share that bond and, you know, be good friends, and we'll get somebody to follow for my young boys to watch him in the big leagues, hopefully.
Last question, about a minute left. Me and your dad and some more guys pulling together with this helping Coach Palmer, the GoFundMe aspect, has almost $25,000 we've raised. And, of course, your dad is involved in other ways too. Just kind of tell our listeners what Corky Palmer means to you and why it's so important we help him.
Oh, I mean, you know, he was that father figure on the field away from your dad, you know, and even though I had local parents here, you know, you needed somebody to be able to push you and, you know, get the best out of you. And that's what he was great at. You know, he would do anything for his guys at this point. And, you know, right now he's in a spot where he needs us. And so hopefully the community, as you just said, you know, raising $25,000 has already rallied around him pretty well, just in a, you know, short term. So he means the world to us, and we just hope he can come out of this on top and get back to Pete Taylor Park sometime soon.
Hey, Mark, we appreciate you being on the show. Great conversation. Good work in helping save that guy, and we really do appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and talk to us today.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right. The great Mark Maddox, everybody, one of the true great Southern Miss baseball players, and USM baseball history. Another one on the Eagle Hour tomorrow. Hunter Stanley joins us for the first half hour. Make sure you're here for that.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Appreciate Mark Maddox joining us, as well as Patrick McGee in the first segment on this Wednesday edition of the Eagle Hour. Happy to have you, Luke and Bob, live from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, the sandwich of the week at 4th Street is a mushroom Swiss burger. Comes with fries. You can get it any day, but you can only get the $8.95 lunch particular menu on its specific day, which means it's Pork Chop Thursday and then it's Bob Getty Catfish Friday for the next 2 days at 4th Street. So go grab a mushroom Swiss burger. That sounds really, really, really good. Appreciate Slade White and the whole crew over at 4th Street sponsoring and being part of the Eagle Hour team. Kelly Sanner joins us now, and we mentioned this with Patrick McGee, but let's talk about it a little more. Kelly, Rodrigo Montenegro, Gabe Montenegro's little brother, a catcher for the Western Oklahoma State College Pioneers, announcing today his commitment to the University of Southern Mississippi baseball. Catcher batted 348, 45 runs, 55 hits, 39 RBIs, 4 home runs, and he did steal a couple bases. We have another count of Montenegro joining the baseball field, Kelly, and he looks the same. I mean, if you look at them, they're like twins. Rodrigo, the younger one, obviously. But, I think that helps. And I think, as we mentioned with Patrick, and get your take on it, I think that kind of bodes well for Gabe possibly returning also.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Luke, because Gabe Montenegro has been here so long, I thought that was his son. That was coming to Southern Miss. Okay,
Gabe's so been around brother. A while.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with these COVID rules, you know, if we can, you know, obviously COVID was a very serious thing and remains to be for some people. But with these COVID years, it's going to be, you know, you're going to have seniors that are, if they take advantage of all the opportunities they have to play college sports, some of these seniors could be 27 years old,
yeah,
you know, by the time that they graduate. But, you know, as much of that, besides the resume, you know, as much of that is about the family. You know, I mean, Scott Berry and his staff know what they're getting in a family as well. And one of the things that I always tell a lot of these travel players, these travel baseball players that come up, and I tell their parents as well, in this day and age of social media and things that you can hardly not do anything without somebody knowing about it, if parents don't think that their attitudes and their behavior matter, whether their son or daughter gets recruited, they better think again, because scholarships are limited, and when coaches have two players that are equal and absolutely don't know which way to go, don't think for a minute that they're not going to see what are we getting with the parents and the family, because now every parent seems to want their kid to play every inning of every game, whether they earned it or not, and you got even parents at the college level will challenge these coaches as to why they're kid isn't playing. So food for thought.
Well, Bob, it's amazing then to Sanders' point that it just shows you how talented John Carter really was, because knew what they were getting.
That Northwestern State still signed him to a scholarship, realizing Kelly came with it. Man, he was speaks volume, Sanders.
Well, see, now I feel bad.
Now, you make a great point, Kelly.
You set yourself up.
Yeah, you set that up. Kelly.
Okay, I had to.
Kelly, and it strikes me, and I've heard from various sources about some of that taking place this year on the Southern Miss baseball team, young players coming in from high school and not immediately starting on a top 20 team, and they're unhappy and the parents are unhappy. And I think back to the kid that played quarterback at Alabama that transferred to Oklahoma. What's his name?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. You know, here this kid leads a team to a national championship and he gets benched, and you know, he's a team player. And it just said a ton about the character of that kid. And I'm assuming his family, and the reverse is not a positive trend, is it, Kelly?
It isn't, and you'll talk to some college coaches now that will say it is amazing how a lot of these college players have facial hair, they're adult in every single aspect of their life, but every inning, one of their parents will come down every inning. Can I get you something? Do you need a Powerade? Do you need a candy bar? You know, and these guys
say it ain't so, Kelly.
It is so. Not a lot, but it happens, and it's happening more and more. And college coaches are going, at what point do these parents back off of their kids and let them do things for themselves and learn that you have to earn your position? But, you know, we've got other things. We've got bigger fish to fry, I guess. But, yeah, it's good that another Montenegro will be in a uniform. And it might be two of them, like Luke said. It might be two at once.
I think that's a good possibility. And I'm glad.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
Other things, you guys, a little bit about a lot of things. In the NBA, Stan Van Gundy didn't last one full calendar year as coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. He is out, and there is word out of New Orleans today that Teresa Weatherspoon has emerged as the front runner to be the new coach of the Pelicans. And that, of course, would be the first female head basketball coach in the NBA if that were to happen. But a very highly decorated assistant coach who has put in her time in the NBA. Is this the time that the NBA would hire a woman as head coach? Anyway, that's the word out of New Orleans today. Mike Bianco apparently in negotiations with LSU to become their next baseball coach. Will that happen or not? We talked it's not quite as easy as you think, with Ole Miss having the fifth largest budget for baseball in the country. Only one other candidate has even been talked about, the head coach at East Carolina. We can talk more about that in a minute. Out of Memphis, officials with the city of Memphis have proposed Liberty Park, a mixed-use development, which will include a youth sports park, and that it will be built right next to the Liberty Bowl. Scheduled opening would be October of 2022. But football fans in the Memphis area think that it could cause all sorts of problems, particularly parking at bigger events at the Liberty Bowl. That's out of Memphis. And finally, golfers on the PGA Golf Tour have voted to do away with what are called green books, and that's where the pros get essentially a map of each green. Whatever particular course they're playing, it shows the undulations and the percentage of break and so on and so forth. Players want to get rid of those, saying that you're not really relying on talent, but when you have those green books, they would rather just be courses themselves and let a person's talent and intuition play more a role in the game. So if that passes the competition committee, that would go into effect next year. Among those that want to get rid of the books are Rory McIlroy. Among those that want to keep them is Bryson DeChambeau. And, of course, the U.S. Open begins this week at La Jolla in San Diego with first round beginning tomorrow. Hmm. So that's it, guys. What else is going on?
Luke?
I can't believe that Gundy's out after 1 year.
Yeah, a lot of heads are starting to roll in the NBA. I'm more of a college basketball fan, and in full disclosure, I don't really keep up with the NBA that much. But here we are in nearly July, and we still don't have an NBA champion. I mean, the college basketball champion was crowned in April, the first weekend in April, and here we are nearly July, and we still don't know. Basketball, NBA basketball season seems to go on and on and on, and I know the same could be said.
Well, it's because they started
baseball.
So late. That's why. It's because they had to start late because of COVID, because they finished up so late. That's what I did the same thing. I think the finals are going to be over on July 22nd. And I'll be honest. I mean, I pick a franchise in each sport and pull for them. I'm a Pelicans fan, but I over the course of an NBA season, I don't really watch anything except the playoffs, where they're at right now. But We talked about Nick Sandlin, and I went back and watched the pitching sequence from the other night. And I tell you what, the Major League Baseball is getting to experience what we saw. I mean, the slider that he throws now and the curveball that it's almost like a frisbee ball that he threw. But let me tell you guys, he threw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball that ran in. I mean, it stayed outside the plate, and then it moved back in and caught the outside corner. And he threw 10 pitches that inning. 9 were strikes, dominating the zone. I think he got probably 4 or 5 of those 10 swinging strikes. And he's got even more movement on his pitches now than even what he did at Southern Miss. It's pretty remarkable. And the uptick in velocity.
And because there's such an emphasis now on hitting home runs rather than base hits, and that home runs, sell tickets, that's why strikeouts are on the increase. Pitchers aren't necessarily any better than the hitters have been, but the hitters have taken the emphasis, teams have taken the emphasis on launch angles and, hitting home runs. It's getting to be more of a slow pitch kind of game than it is, the game that I remember. I'd much rather, and we've talked about this before, I'd much rather have a guy that hits singles and doubles than guys that hit home runs, because if they don't hit a home run, they usually strike out. But until they get away from this emphasizing the long ball and emphasizing the home runs, pitchers are going to continue to strike a lot of guys out. Again, I don't think they're any better than they have been. I don't think hitters are worse than they used to be. I think the teams are just, they want more home runs hit, and so the launch angles are different, which causes a whole different dynamic in the game.
All right, we'll continue with Kelly Sander. We'll wrap up another edition of the Eagle Hour on the other side of the break.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment today brought to you by DBAT, D1 Training in Hattiesburg. The website DBATHattiesburg.com. Batting cages, lessons, camps, and clinics. I got a pro shop. You can pick up some great merchandise and helps to improve your game. It's all at DBAT Hattiesburg and D1 Training on Hardy Street. Got summer camps coming up. There's still three left. They're finishing up one today, but another one June 21st through 25th, July 5th through 9th, and July 12th through 14th. Discount, obviously, with a membership. And you can swing into DBAT one time, or you can be a member there. DBAT D1 Training, located in Hattiesburg. A couple news and notes. Even this on hour, while we were talking with Patrick McGee about new commits, Southern Miss football gets another commit for the class of 22. Tiaquellen Mims, a wide receiver from Bay Minette, Alabama, goes to Baldwin County High School. You know where that is, down around Foley in Gulf Shores area. Mims, 5'9", 173, commits to Southern Miss today. So the Golden Eagles get another skill position commit and a good balance. They've been bringing in the beef lately with a lot of linemen, go after a skills guy. So Mims, 5'9", 173 from Baldwin County High School in Bay Minette, Alabama. The newest commit to the Golden Eagles. He will be a upcoming senior this year, so he'll be in the signing class of 2022. Coach Mo in soccer adds a midfielder from North Miami, Florida, Tachanda Kobate, and she was very good in high school at North Miami High School, the MVP of the season three times, also a captain. This girl, she also played flag football in high school. So, anyway, good stuff as we bring in new athletes. And then four baseball players named to the ABCA Rawlings All-South Region team. Second team, Walker Powell, Reed Trimble. And first team, Charlie Fisher and Hunter Stanley, all named to the ABCA Rawlings All-South Region squad, announced today. And the aforementioned Hunter Stanley will be on the Eagle Hour tomorrow. And another one of those great relievers that Christian Ostrander and Scott Berry have converted to a pitcher. And man, oh man, did he have a good year. Kelly, what should we not ask Hunter Stanley tomorrow?
Well, the one thing I want to go back to your interview with Mark Maddox. Did Mark tell you how influential I was in his baseball career? Because if he didn't, I want my $100 back.
No, he didn't mention that.
He was never mentioned.
What an amazing thing. No, he didn't.
I'll get that $100 back from him that I paid him to say it. But on these football recruits, Luke, I like, and I think it was Patrick McGee that used a quote that that Coach Will Hall said. He said, coming in, the whole staff looking at where they needed the most help immediately was along the lines, offensively in particular, and defensive line. And he said in their early months as coaches at Southern Miss, this is a quote now, he said, I think we killed that fly with a hammer. meaning he's got some really big, strong guys coming in here, as evidenced by the last two commits the last couple of days, averaging well over 300 pounds and in the average of 6 feet, 6.5 inches tall. I mean, you got some big dudes coming in here to protect the quarterbacks, and that's music to a quarterback's ears, right? Right? If you say to a quarterback...
One of those guys is connected to Trey Lowe, comes in from West Virginia, and, you know, Lowe was, I think, influential in talking to him and, you know, getting him when he entered the transfer portal to come down to Southern Miss. So it always helps not only to have new guys, but new guys that you're familiar with.
But if you can, if you say to a quarterback, I think the biggest problem you're going to have this year is throwing it high enough to get it over your offensive lineman's head. That's a good problem. That's a good problem to have. If you're a quarterback,
right.
You know, if I know guys that size are going to be protecting me, I'll say, look, I'll deal with that. Okay. I'll make the adjustment if I've got guys that big blocking for me. So good for them. If they felt that that was the biggest need, they certainly went off and got it done quickly. As far as filling those cupboards on the offensive line go. And I don't know that you can ever have too many offensive or defensive linemen.
No, you can never have too much steak. That is one thing for say. About a minute left on the show. Can you just remind our listeners about the GoFundMe? We brought it up with Mark Maddox earlier. Of course, a joint effort of Tyler Conn, Rick Maddox, Jimmy Pierce, and Ted Palmer. Happy to have helped them with that. GoFundMe.com. You can just search Help Coach Corky Palmer or just Corky Palmer. Right now, guys, a little under a month of it being going. We've raised $24,820 for Corky Palmer, and just keep spreading the word. You know, we had the initial push, and it's been steady in there, but keep sharing it and keep telling people we need to help Coach Palmer, and we can get over $25,000 a day in no time.
And we're going to be on the road Friday, right? The Eagle Hour on the road Friday?
Parrish Tractor, my man. Parrish Tractor for Father's Day. So
Father's Day is this Sunday. That's
yeah,
Sunday.
We'll look forward to that. Hunter Stanley on the show tomorrow. Kelly and Luke on the road Friday. We're going to finish the week in high style. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Hope you'll join us then. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. Slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.